standing for the reading of the word.
Today I'm reading from James chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. Not many of us should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with great stress, for all symbols in many ways, and if any does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. We look at ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, whatever the will of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts the great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and a tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of our life, and setting on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can be tamed the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jerry. You may be seated. As you're sitting down, let me introduce you to Jerry Greer. He's one of our newest members at Life Point. And not only is he a new member, he got baptized a couple of weeks ago because the Lord saved him a couple of weeks ago. And so I asked Jerry if I could share this. Jerry, we asked some of our new members to read scripture for us. And I asked Jerry to if I could share what I'm about to share. Jerry has dyslexia. And so he had the boldness to come up here and read God's word in front of you today. That takes a lot of guts. That's bold. But Jerry, we are proud of you. We thank you. He said, it's not going to stop me from reading. I said, praise the Lord. So, bro, you did a great job this morning. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate you, man. Man. You give that to my beautiful wife. There you go, man. Thank you for being here, bro. All right, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3 if you have not already. We will be in the third chapter of the book of James. Also, if you want to put one finger there and then put the other in, probably Proverbs will be there a little bit today because we are going to continue on in our series through the book of James called Proof. And so if you've been here with us over the past couple of weeks, or you're just now joining us, we are taking a deep dive in the book of James and looking at what proves a true believer to be. And so we've looked at practical truths like trials and temptations, true religion, works, and faith. And today we're going to be talking about something that everyone in here can relate with. And relate to everyone in here we have in common, whether you're 8 or 89, you've come into this place, and this is something that we all can be impacted with. Now, this isn't one of those sermons where you sit there and go, boy, I hope that she's listening, or I hope my small group's listening to this, or that thing where you nudge your spouse and go, hey, you paying attention? We don't need that, because I know you'll be impacted when I hear the good old Baptist, because it impacts all of us. Even the guy who's standing up here speaking to you this morning, this impacts all of us. So, I mean, this makes something we have all in common. Because when we came in here, we understand that we have differences. You come, some are tall, some are short, some have brown hair, some have blonde hair, some have gray hair, some have no hair. Like that, we're all different when we come in this place. Some of you have blue eyes. Some of you have green eyes. Some of you have brown eyes. My wife, her eyes go from blue to green to red because of probably something I did sometimes. Like, I get it. So we all come in here different. We have physical attributes, and we all have similarities. When it comes to sin, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I was doing some research on this as I was studying on James chapter 3. There are 8.2 billion people on the planet. We know that. We have that from studies. 8.2 billion people. But did you know that there are 11 cases of aglossia, those who are born without a tongue? 11 cases, worldwide, recorded cases of aglossia, those who are born without a tongue. So when we dive into this chapter, James is talking about the tongue. And it's not, you know, we think about what the tongue is used for, eating and taste and talking. He's not talking about gluttony, and he's not talking about salt on food. He's talking about the words that come out of our mouth that our tongues are used for. And so when we think about this, it begs the question, do we have the power to tame our tongues? Do we have the power to tame our tongues? And, you know, our tongues hold so much weight, so much power. The things that we say, the things that we talk with people about, there's a lot of realities in this that this little chunk of meat in our mouths gets us in trouble a lot, doesn't it? Because of what we say. So we see some realities in the book of James in chapter 3, and we're going to take a look at three of them this morning, all right? So if you're taking notes, I would love for you to write this down. Reality number one, the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. So let's think about this. James is writing to the church of the dispersion. And so he's writing this out. And at this time, people are still meeting in synagogues, but they're meeting in a lot of house churches. They're coming together, hearing the word of God taught from the Old Testament and hearing about the things that Jesus did on the earth. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we looked at true religion in chapter 1. Remember that verse where it says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. I mean, during the sermons and the speaking portions of their gatherings, the speaker or the pastor or the preacher would be talking, and someone would stand up and push back on what the preacher's saying, disagree and challenge the person who's speaking. And say, no, that's not right. I don't agree with that. Maybe it made him feel bad. That's not what it means. And so James is talking about this. And when we get to chapter 3, he takes it a little step further. Not only in chapter 1, he said, don't do that. But let me tell you the why behind it. So let's look back at verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. I mean, James is directly calling them out. Those people would stand up. Not only do I disagree with you, I know better than you, speaker. I know what it should say. It's almost like when RC's preaching and says that salvation is through in grace alone, by faith alone, through Christ alone. If someone would stand up and go, that's good, but you need to add works. Or, well, that's great, but that you need to be baptized as well to be saved. That would be an example of what's going on in these moments. And he's saying, hey, look, this responsibility of teaching is a big deal. People who preach and teach the word of God take it massively serious. And he's lumping himself into this. It reminds me of what Jesus said in Luke 12. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. It's a high calling to teach God's word. It's a high calling that we can't take lightly. One of the most popular questions I get as a speaker or a preacher is, Ryan, do you get nervous when you preach? Do you get nervous when you speak to folks? And honestly, I don't get nervous when I'm talking to folks. Large crowds don't bother me. It doesn't bother me speaking. But when it comes to preaching the word of God, I do get nervous. Why? Why would I get nervous? Because this is the word of God. This holds the life in the love letter of Jesus, the Savior of the universe. So I want to make sure that I don't misinterpret any of the scriptures. I want to study. I want to seek the Lord. I want to pray. I pray over these scriptures. RC and I, we seek the Lord. We read trusted commentaries from pastors and preachers and theologians that we trust, that we know, that follow the Lord deeply. So that in order that we might stand in front of you and we preach these words, that you might be changed by the way that you leave. You will go different than the way you came in here. Not by anything that we say, but by the word of God. And so we take it very, very seriously. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't necessarily want to hear, great job, Ryan, that was a great job, great sermon. I want to hear from the Lord, great job. You preached my scriptures well. It's a big deal. And so James is talking about this, and he's making the case of saying, like, it's not that preachers or communicators or pastors are on a pedestal. They're not better than anyone else per se, because he's very clear. He says, for we all stumble in many ways. That can be translated, we all sin many times in many ways. Some with lust, some with pride, some with online gambling, some with laziness. We struggle in different areas. And our sins may be different, but he says there's one sin that we all have in common, because we are, almost all of us, except the 11 on the planet, are born with a tongue in our mouth. And so that gets us in trouble. So that reminds me of Proverbs chapter 18, what Solomon said. He said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Now let's think about that for a second. How can our tongues bring death? How can our tongues bring death? Let's think back to this past week. How many times when you were riding on I-24 and someone cut you off, did you say, thank you for cutting me off? Appreciate you almost clipping my car. Appreciate that. You're number one. Some of you got that. So it's like, you didn't say it. Or if you've been like me, you're getting off the ramp off of Almaville onto 24 and your vehicle's shaking to death because the road, and you're just cursing the road crew. When are they going to fix this? Maybe that was just confession time for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one. What about this? Fathers. Fathers, last week, did you provoke your children to anger? Did you provoke your children to anger? Wives, did you joyfully and lovingly submit to your husband? And husbands, did you give your wives someone to joyfully and lovingly submit to in the words that you say? What about when your boss came in to your office this week and he said something you did not like? And so you got in your car, and on the way home for the next 30 minutes, you blasted that boss to your spouse. These words hold weight. They're huge. The things that you say not only hurt the person that you're saying them about, and it hurts the person that you're saying them to, but it also hurts you as well. It hurts you as well. We need to think about, why do most people speak negatively? What's the point? Why do they speak negatively? And I think it stems in insecurities. I think it comes out in insecurities. And for the believer, I truly think it's a lack of trust in the Savior of the world. Truly think that. We don't trust that God can be in control of our situations. So we have to get it off our chest. Remember what Luke 6 said? Jesus says this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. And out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. I also heard that verse say, out of the overflow of the heart speaks the mouth. So let me ask you, if more words that come out of your mouth are breathing deathly words or saying deathly things, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure found? Let me ask it in another way. What do you hold in your heart most dear? What do you hold in your heart most dear? Words that bring life lift others up. They encourage others. They honor others. But how do they do that? How do they lift others up? Well, James, I love the book of James. This section of scripture was one of the first sections of scripture I ever memorized. James chapter 3 was in a third day song back in the 90s, and they quoted it in the middle of the song, so I memorized it. I love this. He says, he talks about two different things. He talks about a horse and a ship. Now, think about a horse. I don't know about you. I don't have a horse at my house. I don't know much about horses, but the average horse weighs about 1,100 pounds. 1,100 pounds, big horse. But, you know, they are controlled by a piece of metal that goes in their mouth that's called a bit that weighs about 12.5 ounces. And that controls the whole horse, wherever the rider wants it to go. This week, and as I was studying this message, I used something for the first time, ChatGPT. I needed some help in how to explain this thing out. Did you know that you can fit 4,700 school buses, long ways and height ways, inside the average Carnival cruise ship? I know, crazy. 4,700. But the thing is only controlled by a rudder that is the size of a school bus that's just a little bigger than a school bus. That whole ship is controlled by a rudder that's just a little bigger than a school bus. Here's the point. Here's the point. The powerful horse and this massive boat are guided and steered by something much smaller. Guided and steered. If it's up to the person who's riding the horse, if there's no one guiding the horse will just run wild. If there's no one in control of the rudder, it will just go around in circles. Look at what verse 5 says. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. If no one is in control of your tongue, it'll say whatever it wants, whenever it wants, and it doesn't matter the destruction that it brings. So who is in control? Who is in control of our tongues? Well, I think it goes back to where's our treasure? Where's our treasure found? I mean, when we know how much power the tongue holds, when we know the power and the weight, we have no choice but to give the controls over to the Holy Spirit. We have no choice. For the believer, he's inside of us. He guides us. He's our helper, and he wants to guide the words that we say. Because we need to understand there's so much power. Now, let me just stop right here. Anyone else convicted? I am. I've been convicted all week in what I've been reading and I've been preparing. Because there's so much power in the words that we say. So James gives us that first reality, the power of the tongue. But he gives us another reality. As we keep diving on, walking on through the chapter, let's look at the poison in the tongue. The poison in the tongue. So James gives two great illustrations, two great examples of the bit and the ship and the rudder. But then he gives another one in verse 5. Let's look at it. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. In 2016, my family and I, we lived in Georgia. And I never forget the news broke out that there was this massive wildfire in North Georgia. The beautiful mountains of North Georgia were just engulfed in flames. And by the time they got it kind of under control, over 260 acres were burned down. It was a massive, massive fire. I know it's not as many as in California, but this was a massive wildfire. And so the GBI got involved, and the fire teams got involved to investigate how it started. How in the world did this fire start? And so they concluded out of all the investigation that there was a group of boys, 7 to 13 years old, out in the woods. One of them had a lighter, and some of them lit some leaves on fire. So I called my dad, and I was like, "Dad, did you hear how that fire got started? It was amazing. I couldn't believe it." And as I was telling him about it, it was a group of dudes, just of boys being out, being boys, and it dawned on me. How many times did I go out when I was a kid, go out and play in the woods, go down to the creek, and one of us have a box of matches or a lighter and set leaves on fire? That could have been me. Like, I was thinking, I knew exactly the pain that they were walking through. That could have, I was there. Wow, that could have been me, because the massive destruction that led to out of just a pile of leaves that caught on fire. One commentator said this, that James says that those who misuse the tongue are guilty of spiritual arson. I think about this, the power of just a small spark can set a whole forest ablaze of destruction. When I was growing up, around February, my parents would always take me to the Barnum and Bailey Circus. You remember that circus? You used to come to town. It was my birthday, and my mom would inevitably find a coupon on the back of a Coke can. They used to do that. Remember that? And so some of you, yeah, you remember. So we would go to the circus, and I loved going to the circus because you had the lions and the tigers and the elephants, and inevitably they would jump up on a platform and they would roar and they would follow these massive creatures would follow the trainers around and wherever they went. And then I got a little older, and then I saw Free Willy, and then I remember Shamu, you remember all that? And these orca whales that would be at SeaWorld, and they would be in the tank, and the trainer would just do just flip a wrist and the thing would jump out of the air. Crazy. Do this, and it splashed the whole crowd. You know what I'm talking about. These massive whales are being commanded by a trainer. They can be tamed. Let's look back at our scripture, verse 8. But no human can tame the tongue. Everything else on this planet can be tamed, but no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. I've heard it said that a woman once came up to John Wesley, and she said that she knew what her talent from the Lord was. I know what the talent from the Lord is. I think my talent from God is to speak my mind. And Wesley replied, "I don't think God would mind if you buried that talent." Speaking forth everything that comes from our mind is unwise. It's dangerous. It's poisonous. As a viper has poison in their fangs and is just ready to kill, our tongues hold that same poison. You remember that old saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt them." Whoever said that was a dang liar. They really were. I mean, you think about this. It's a restless evil. It stays awake. It's ready to hunt, and it's just waiting to strike at the right moment to bring someone down. And if our tongues hold so much poison, what type of poison do they hold? What poison lies in our tongues? Let's think about, what about the poison of gossip? Talking behind someone's back. Did you see what she wore to church? Those shoes with that dress? All right, it's not just the ladies who do this. Guys, that dude, he can't play golf to save his life. He can't putt. He can't count. He needs to just take his club straight to play it again and get $2.50 for it. That guy stinks. Or one of my favorites. This is one of my favorites. Gossiping clothed in a prayer request. You know, y'all pray for Cindy. I saw her at the Mexican restaurant and she had a beer. Pray for her. Pray for, you know those. Remember Proverbs 20:19? Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate. Don't hang out with a simple babbler. Let me throw this in there. Don't think for a second that when someone comes up to you and talks about you to someone else, that they're not about someone else, they're not going behind your back and talking about you as well. It's ingrained in them, the poison of gossip. But what about the poison of flattery? If gossip is saying something behind someone's back that you'd never say to their face, flattery is saying something in their to their face that you'd never say behind their back. It's trying to gain something from the person, trying to get something. The motivation of the heart is total selfishness. What about the poison of boasting? Waiting on someone to finish talking so that you can, okay, well, let me tell you about what I did, where I went. That's awesome. But let me tell you, you know what I'm talking about, that boasting. Man, we think about that. That's awesome. That's so great what you did, but I did something better. Whenever you encounter someone like that who's talking about themselves, their relationship with the Lord is probably a little off. Because they're talking more about themselves than they're talking about Christ. What about the poison of disobeying or talking back to parents? Well, so the Bible mentions over and over and over to obey your parents, obey your mother and father. This is right in the Lord. I mean, this was such a serious deal that in the Old Testament times, if you disobeyed your parents, kids, they would take you out in the street. They had the ability to take you out in the street and stone you. You think getting your Xbox taken away is bad. Listen, I mean, this is a big, big deal. And don't talk back to your parents. If they're not saying anything and telling you to do something immoral and unethical, or even more importantly, unbiblical, you have to listen to them whether you like it or not. Parents, you need to hold your kids accountable to it. You can't let them just talk back to you like and say whatever they want to say to you. Because here's what happens. Kids who grow up and just talk back, you know what? They turn into adults who talk back to their bosses. And so here's the deal. I mean, this is a big, big deal for our families to grow in. What about this last example? I'll give you the last example. The poison of coarse joking. The poison of coarse joking. Proverbs 26 says this: like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I'm only joking. I'm just kidding." And if there's any poison that we're talking about today that I deal with, that I spew on a regular basis, it's this. Confession time, it's this. I'm just messing with you. Just busting your chops. Just giving you a hard time. Yet Solomon knew the harshness of joking. He knew how much weight it brought. It brought hurt and pain, insecurity. And he calls the person the madman. Some translations say maniac. And most times in the Old Testament, when that term was used, it was equated to a person who was possessed by a demon. That's a big deal. Our words hold weight and poison. And these types of poisons are a dangerous thing. And they've changed shape a little through the years. It's not just the things that we say, but it's also the things that we text, the things we type, the things that we post online. That's poisonous as well. So let me give you some hope this morning. You can't tame your tongue. What if I just left like, that's it. Let's pray, walk out, sing our song. That'd be horrible. That'd be tough. We can't end there. And I'm so thankful that James doesn't end us there. Because we see the power in the tongue and the poison in the tongue, but we also see one more reality that the tongue brings. It's the potential with the tongue. Let's read verse 9. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who've been made in likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Most theologians look at the book of James and call it the Proverbs of the New Testament. It was thought that it was one of the first books written of the New Testament. James is super important to our daily practical living, just like the Proverbs are. The impact, these daily principles for living found in the Old Testament. It can be said the same thing as the book of James. And when James talks about the power that our tongues have, it should smack us right in the mouth, honestly. It should cause us to think about what we're going to say and what we've said. Think back about this past week. Think back last week of all the things that you said. Maybe you've sat there and you're thinking, man, I wish I could take that back. I wish I could have changed that. But I bet none of us, when we were in this room this morning, when the band was singing these beautiful songs, thought about the words that we said earlier. We were just praising the Lord. It was awesome. But you know what? Both praise and cursing come out of your same mouth and mine. And that's a big deal. So if that's the case, and James says it can't be that way, is there a way to tame the tongue? I think 100% yes. 100% yes. Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you're taking notes, write that down. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn there. This is one of those scriptures to memorize. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I memorized out a different version. So oftentimes when I'm reading this in James and Romans 12, words get confusing to me because I memorized out of a different version of the Bible. But Paul says this in Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship, your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We have to wake up as believers in Christ every single morning and present ourselves to our Savior. Every part of us, our wishes, our desires, our thoughts, our words, and we need to worship Him every single morning. And what does it take? Let's think about this. What does it take? First, it takes a relationship with Christ. You have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It takes a relationship with Christ. You can't say, God, you can have all of me, you can have my heart, you can have my hands, but you can't have my tongue. It's total surrender, everything. Because that leads to the second part. You need to make Jesus not only your Savior, that's when He becomes your Lord. He's in control of everything, every part of you. So when I think about this, you remember that saying, garbage in, garbage out? Remember that saying, garbage in, garbage out? Let me ask you a question. I mean, when we think about the things that come out of our mouths, ultimately come from the things that we put in our minds. Are the shows that you're watching glorifying the Lord? Or are they filled with cursing? Is the music that you're listening to on your ride to work or ride home or when you're working out glorifying Jesus? Or are they filled with the passions of the world? Are the influencers that you watch on YouTube, are they giving God praise, or are they just getting your views so they can make a lot of money? You're just sucked in and watching it. The company we keep influences the way we talk. Now, I'm reminded by 1 Corinthians 15 when Paul says this, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Or it can be said as well, bad company corrupts good character. This doesn't just happen sometime. This happens all the time. All the time. It could sound like, Ryan, you're saying I can't watch TV, I can't watch movies, I can't listen to secular music, I can't do these things. Not necessarily. I'm not necessarily saying that. But if you watch these things and you listen to this stuff more frequently than we do the things of the Lord, really reading God's word, it's going to come out of us. It really is. My family and I probably should get a little kickback for as much as I talk about this app. It's called VidAngel. We've used VidAngel for years. Joe's smiling because we talk about VidAngel all the time. Like, I love VidAngel because what it does is it takes your streaming services and goes through VidAngel. It cuts all the language. It cuts all the sex. It cuts everything out of it. And you can watch a show and you're not dealing with all this stuff. And it costs just a few bucks a month. And you might say, well, why would I want to spend, $10 a month to have all this filtered? Why would you not want to spend $10 a month? It's going to impact your speech, your way of life, the things that you say. I mean, if you're going to put it in, you might as well clean it up. I mean, we can't be conformed to this world. We have to be transformed. By the renewing of our mind daily. We have to fill our minds with the word of the Lord. I mean, you think about it. When you're a child, you learn how to speak. When you're a Christian, you got to learn how to speak the gospel. Well, how do you know that? You read God's word. I mean, think back the last time you had a conversation with someone. You're counseling, you're encouraging, you're lifting someone up, and a song lyric comes to your mind. Well, let me tell you about this. Or a movie quote comes to mind. Or you might quote back someone that you heard on TV or a preacher that you heard on Instagram. And you're like, that's really good. Let me tell you what this guy said. And total heresy. What if you put the word of God so deep in your heart that the word of God just comes out? It just overflows because the word of God is your treasure. I've never had a movie that I've watched, and I've never had a song that I've listened to change my life. I really haven't. I mean, my life has never changed by watching an episode of Yellowstone, which I watched on VidAngel, the whole series on VidAngel, it's on there. The only thing it caused me to do is want to spend money that I don't have and buy a 1,000-acre ranch in Montana. That's the only thing it wanted me to do. I mean, what if this week we change the things that we put in our head? Just try it this week. Everything that you listen to this week, you dial Apple Music, you dial Spotify only to Jesus music and see what changes. You don't watch the stuff that you shouldn't watch because you're seeing things and hearing things that you don't need to hear and see. I love this. I'm reading Romans right now in my quiet time, in Romans 12:10. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I heard it said this week that this is the only competitive scripture in the Bible. The only competitive scripture. What if you made it your goal to outdo one another in honor, loving on people, encouraging people? I mean, men, this starts with us. We like competition, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. So listen, let's outdo one another in showing honor. Look, Mark Sanders, you know Mark Sanders. You've probably got 3 hugs on the way in from Mark Sanders. He is one of the nicest guys I know. Look, this week, Mark, I'm going to outdo you in showing honor. I'm going to do it. We need that competition. Why? Because the word of God says for us to do it. Word of God says. What if this week you had your, when you're having your quiet time, you're reading God's word out loud instead of reading it to yourself. You read it out loud. You're putting it on your tongue. It's coming out of your mouth. What if you're on your way to work or you're coming home from work and you're praying, not only just for your crew at VBS, but you're praying for your family. You're praying for your friends. You're praying for your boss. I mean, we have so much power. What if we used it for the Lord? When we think about this, we have everything in common when it comes to the tongue, but we also have sin in common. And so, again, some of us, we have different sin struggles, different things that bury us down and weigh us down. And if you're at a point and you're saying, man, the first step is you just need a Savior. You want to change the way you talk? Maybe you just need a Savior. We'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe for some of you, you've evaluated what you've said, and this week there's some changes you need to make. Maybe for some of us, there's some people we need to talk to in this room and apologize to and really use our words to bring life. Parents, one of the best ways that you can practice this is at home with your children. I tell my kids 3 things every day, every single day, that I love them, and I'm proud of them, and I'm thankful to be their dad. Every single day. My kids will not ever forget that, Lord willing, not ever forget that, because I tell them so much. I mean, I want my kids, when they think back at the marriage between my wife and I, Megan, I want them to be thinking of, man, mom and dad sure did kiss a lot more than they sure did argue a lot. Maybe moms and dads, you've been at that spot. Maybe you need to go to your kids and apologize for how you acted. That's all of us. I mean, we can do that. This is easy stuff, but we have to do it through Spirit of God. So today I want to encourage you. Listen, when we understand the power of the tongue and the poison that it can spew, we don't stay with it. We know the potential that it brings. And it has the potential to bring life, but it also has the potential just to praise our God. And we can do that this week. Let's pray together. God, we love you. And we thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I pray that we do use this word, this encouragement from James chapter 3, and lift your name on high this week. God, may we honor you and glorify you in the things that we say and do, God. But Lord, I pray that you would change our hearts and minds, and we would renew our minds through the word that you give us. And may we speak life, words of life, because we've received life. So Lord, we love you, we thank you, we need you this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In just a moment, we're gonna end our service a little different way, and we're gonna have a corporate prayer together. Maybe you need prayer, maybe you need to talk to someone about being saved today. We're gonna have some deacons down front, we would love to talk to you. I'll be in the back, I would love to chat with you if that's you. If you have some things you need to pray about, we would love to pray with you about that this week and today. And so here's how we're going to end our time together. I want to ask you that you would stand. You would stand up where you are. And we're going to pray this corporate prayer out loud. Now, I know sometimes these can be kind of robotic. They can be kind of awkward praying this prayer, someone else's words. But I want you to try to pray this prayer in your own tone, in your own words. And we'll pray this out loud together as we leave together. And so let's pray this together as a church.
O most merciful God, we ask you for your mercy's sake to deliver us from unrighteous thirst and seek people tongues. Give us the grace to live and speak in such a way that our adversaries will be put to shame when they try to slander or speak evil of us. We also pray that those who don't misuse their words through gossip, slander, loose talk,
amen. Have a blessed Sunday. We'll see you back next week in God's house. Let's be careful what we say and tame our tongue this week.